Safety, dependability, and power. Chevy Silverado isn't happy unless the work is hard and the day is long. No wonder Silverado is America's number one best-selling retail pickup truck. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com and put a Silverado in your toolbox.
Michelle is the Director of Public Observing at Adler Planetarium. Hi, Michelle. It's John Williams. You're on WGN. How are you?
I'm just great, John. It's great to be on with you. Thank you.
So really, the eclipse is just sort of a process, right? I mean, it's based on just the movement of the planets and the moon and the sun and the stars, right?
Exactly. So we've got the alignment between the sun, the moon, and the earth. And when you have a perfect alignment where the three all line up, the moon's shadow falls on the earth. If you are underneath that shadow, you can see an eclipse.
How often does a total solar eclipse happen anywhere on Earth?
On average, about once a year. Sometimes there isn't one during the year. Sometimes you can have up to two, three, four, five. So on average, about once a year.
Then why does this one feel like such a big deal?
Because it's passing over the United States, where the path of totality, which is the region where you will see the moon 100% cover the sun, is passing from Oregon to South Carolina through Carbondale. And basically, this one is such a big deal because pretty much all of us are within a day's drive or less of getting to this path.
How dark will it be in Carbondale?
In Carbondale, it's going to, now provided it's not cloudy, in Carbondale, it's going to be about as dark as a full moon evening. So if you go outside when the full moon is out and you see how dark the sky is there, that's about how dark it'll be. And if it's cloudy, it'll be even a little darker.
And that is as dark as it will be anywhere, right?
Correct. Yes, that's about as dark as it gets during a total solar eclipse.
How dramatic will the shift be from light to dark?
It'll be pretty dramatic over the course of a few minutes. So about 20 minutes prior to the eclipse, when the sun is covered about 85%, 90%, something like that, you'll start to notice that the shadows around you look different. The shadow edges are going to be sharper, and you'll see underneath all the trees, you'll see little eclipses spangled underneath all the trees because the leaves in the trees are acting like little pinhole projectors and putting little projections of eclipses all over the ground. And then the closer you get to the eclipse, well, your eyes are still adjusting to the dark, so you won't really truly notice until maybe 10 minutes, 15 minutes prior to the eclipse. Then you kind of notice that something strange is about to happen. And then right before the eclipse, that's when it really starts to get dark, and you go, hello, here we go, buckle up, we're about to go on a ride.
What will it be like in Chicago?
In Chicago, we're going to get about 86 to 87% of the sun covered by the moon. And so the sun will look like a kind of a big sliver on the top of where the moon is in the sky. You cannot look up and see this just with your naked eyes. You need proper solar viewing glasses in order to do this. Or use the tree method and look underneath all the trees, and you'll see the eclipses on the ground.
But explain to me what, relative to bright sunny versus completely dark at night, it will be like in Chicago. What comparison would you have there?
It'll mostly look bright sunny. It's still, even 87% of the sun covered is still an awful lot of sun. And I like to say our sun is deceivingly bright. We don't really realize how bright it is until you cover up 87% of it, and it still looks pretty bright out. So you won't really notice that it's going to look much darker in the sky.
So if you want to experience any of this, you really do got to get in your powerful Mach 5 and head south, huh?
If you want the true total solar eclipse experience, yes, get thyself to the path of totality, because it's one of the most amazing experiences you can have, astronomically speaking.
Says an astronomer. I mean,
says someone who actually has viewed one of these things in person and started sobbing when it started, and I didn't expect that reaction. I was really kind of surprised. Even though I understood everything scientifically, when you really do see it in the sky, it looks like a hole in the sky. You absolutely, at that moment, you viscerally understand why people were terrified of these things in the past, especially if they had no idea that one of them was going to happen.
Just kind of snuck up on them, and now all of a sudden there's a black hole in the sky. It's dark,
oh,
and they
yeah.
don't know what to do.
Yep. People have done absolutely crazy things when they didn't know that an eclipse was coming. And for example, you might think the world is ending because that's kind of what it looks like.
What an interesting, powerful emotional reaction you had.
Yeah, I was amazed, and I was given a very good piece of advice, which was put any cameras down. So if anyone is listening and they're planning on going to the path of totality, or they're thinking about it, and you're thinking about taking pictures, you can try. But my first piece of advice is, if this is your first eclipse, buy a professional's photo later. Get it on a nice paper, print it, put it up on the wall. Put your cameras down, put the Facebook Live down, put all the electronics down, and just enjoy it. Because once totality happens and the moon covers the sun completely, you take your solar viewing glasses off and you look at this with your own naked eyeballs. And that is the experience that is just amazing, because you see parts of the sun that you've never seen before.
I'm sorry, you're saying that at the moment of totality, you can look directly at it without glasses?
Absolutely. It's a common thing when you read online, say, never, never, never look at the sun. Caveat, if it's during a total solar eclipse and the moon 100% covers the sun, there is no sun peeking out at all, then it is absolutely safe to look at just for that time period. When that sun starts peeking back out, you put those solar viewing glasses back on. And the part of the sun that I'm talking about that you can actually look at that's safe is called the corona. This is the sun's wispy outer atmosphere that's only about as bright as the full moon. And so that's the part that is safe to look at.
This is amazing. I'm going to call you the queen of corona.
Hey, I'll take that. I had another radio DJ about 15 years ago call me Astro Babe, so you can call me the queen of corona. I will take that, John.
Frank has a question for you. We're visiting on a phone line, obviously, with Michelle Nichols, the director of public observing at the Adler Planetarium. Hey, Frank, what can we do for you? You're on WGN.
Hello, King John. Hello, Michelle. My question is that not to what may happen on Earth, but what would happen on the surface of the moon, because the moon has now blocked the sun rays from penetrating the Earth's atmosphere, and now the moon is absorbing those sunlight rays, which, if it wasn't for the moon, they would be headed to Earth. Is anything going to happen to the moon?
No, nothing happens to the moon, because basically this happens all the time. So this alignment between sun, moon, and Earth, it happens every time the moon goes around the Earth. It's just that at this point, the shadow of the moon is actually falling on the Earth instead. So there's always sunlight shining on some part of the moon. So it's just how much of that lit part we can see is what we call a moon phase. And so the effect that you're going to feel is not actually on the moon. If you're totally within the path of totality and the moon covers the sun, the temperature around you, the air temperature around you on the ground may actually drop. It could drop 5 to 10 degrees in those couple of minutes that you've got with no direct sunlight falling on you at that exact moment in time.
Hmm. Boy, that'd make the temperature game we play here even that much more complicated. I'd have to factor that in.
Oh, yeah, you might have a little trouble with that. I heard you're not very good at it, even though you invented it.
you really don't need to volunteer that. You're a guest on this show.
Well, you said it.
I don't know why I was thinking about this just now, Michelle, but what would be terrifying is if you were at sea and it's the day, and then all of a sudden this dark, boom, just, you know, envelopes your little boat out there. Wow.
Yeah, actually, that's where I saw it. I was on a cruise ship in the Black Sea, and you can see the shadow cone coming at you.
Oh, my God.
Which is pretty cool, because there's nothing out on the water to block the view, which is kind of like when you're up on maybe a hilltop or a mountaintop, that's also a cool place to see the shadow coming, because if you're up high enough, you'll see it coming at you. Racing at you at maybe 1,400 miles an hour or so.
Oh yeah, I guess so. It's traveling the speed of the what, of the moon, of what?
Yeah, it's the combination of the moon's speed, the Earth's speed, all that kind of stuff.
So did you say 1,400, 14,000? What's the thing?
1,400. Yeah. So in the Carbondale area, it's going to be traveling at about 1,400 miles an hour.
Okay. You know what? And I'm getting a little more enthusiastic just about the science of this. I may start sobbing. I mean, you really do sort of have a very almost tangible display of the majesty of the moon, the stars, the sun, don't you?
Absolutely. It is a direct line between you, moon, and sun at that point. And then also, when it's dark enough, so when the moon covers the sun, you won't have enough time for your eyes to fully adjust to the dark. You need about 20 minutes for that. And totality is only about 2.5 minutes at most for this eclipse coming up. But you will see some bright planets and maybe a few bright stars in the sky. So Jupiter, Mercury, Mars, and Venus are going to be in the sky during the eclipse.
Two quick questions from our listeners, and then we'll invite you on another day. Patrick, you're on WGN. Jump in there, Patrick. What can we do for you?
Hi, Queen Corona.
Oh, I love it. Oh, my God. It's a thing now. Go ahead.
I was wondering, since when we have a full moon, they say that police stations get filled up more, or there's an effect that the moon has on, well, besides the fact that it has an effect on the tides, does the sun have an effect on the moon as far as gravitational pull, or just as I said, the how the moon affects the Earth?
Or how about human behavior? I mean, are you anticipating any other unanticipated things about this, Michelle?
Well, basically, the effect it'll have on people is they'll be so amazed by what they see in the sky. Some people will cheer. Some people will cry. Some people will be stone silent. But no crazy other behavior that any of that, because the whole moon affecting people sort of thing, it doesn't actually happen. Think of it this way. The moon's gravity causes tides. The tide in Lake Michigan, think of how humongous Lake Michigan is.
Mm-hmm.
The amount of tide in Lake Michigan is only about a centimeter tall. That's less than half an inch. So think of that giant body of water and only half an inch of tide. So the effect on us is basically negligible. So, no major effects like that. So.
Okay, Michelle, I'm out of time today, and all my phone lines are ringing with people with questions about travel tips or best ways to view it, et cetera, and I can tell you'd be a good resource for us on this. What are you doing Monday?
I am making time for you on Monday.
Okay, let's plan on Monday, you coming back on the show, either in studio or on the phone like this, okay?
Yep, no problem.
I'm on from 1 to 3. I'm going to put you on hold. You make a date with my producer, Elif, okay?
Sounds great.
That's the Queen of Corona, Michelle Nichols. I'm Julio down by the schoolyard. She is the Director of Public Observing at the Adler Planetarium. And sorry we don't have time for the rest of your questions here, but we'll sure pick it up on Monday. It's 2:52 on WGN.